Good morning. Let's just open with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your heart has always been goodness and kindness. We thank you that you're a kind and loving God. We just ask you, Father, to open our eyes, open our hearts this morning to receive what you have for us so that we have a greater understanding of your kindness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'd like to give you a little background on this message. I've never taught on kindness before. About, I think, maybe 8 months ago, I was talking with Pastor Janet and just felt like we needed to teach on kindness. Have you seen the world get a little bit unkind? I mean, words are just terrible today. I mean, some things go as far as, you know, potentially inciting violence. I mean, where has kindness gone? Kindness is not as common as it used to be. So this is the first time I'm teaching on kindness. I'd never made notes on kindness before. And I wanted to choose some of my favorite scriptures on kindness to reveal the Father's heart to you. And Jay taught last week on faith versus fear. Well, there's always been a lot of fear in the world. And let me just give you some background so that you have a reason for listening to kindness. If you're born again, you love God, I mean, kindness is just a kind of obvious thing, right? It's obvious. But it's not an obvious thing to the world. So if you look back in the Old Testament, it's a theme from the Old Testament through the New Testament. What contrasted with Jehovah, the Lord God Almighty, who was a good and kind God? Well, you had Baal and all forms of Baal, and there's been statues of Baal found, and basically he's holding a lightning bolt like he's going to, you know, destroy the people. So people worshipped the temple of Baal out of fear to, quote-unquote, try to receive the blessing, right? So very strong motivation of fear. Probably the worst Old Testament god of fear was Moloch. Now, Moloch required child and infant sacrifice. And they've found statues, kind of like a seated Buddha position with his arms extended. And basically you'd take your child or your infant and there'd be a fire in his lap and you'd throw your baby into his arms to be burned. And they found these statues with just thousands of infant and children bones there, burned. Can you imagine the amount of fear in people motivating them to throw a child, their child, not their neighbor's child, their child, into the fire to try to receive a blessing? So I would submit to you that the same level of fear still exists in the world. These spirits have not gone away. They just manifest in different ways. And so it's very important as the church that we extend kindness to the world because it's so much different than what most people experience. We take it for granted, but it is not common today, and it's getting less and less common. And so with that in mind, I'd like to open with Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 and 32. In this scripture, we're commanded to be kind. We're not suggested to be kind. It is a biblical commandment to be kind if you are a believer in God and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So verse 30 says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Be kind to one another. That's a command. Be kind to one another. So kindness should identify us as a Christian. And it needs to be practiced every day. And what's interesting is people practice a lot of things. They practice music and speaking and athletics and everything. But Paul recognized that kindness was not natural to a lot of us. Okay? Some have a more grumpy disposition, and maybe they need to work on kindness a little bit more than others, but we all need to work on kindness, okay? And so when he says, be kind to one another, I think Paul wanted us to perfect kindness in our life through practice. Commit every day, Heavenly Father, I commit to being kind today. There's a good prayer. What a way to start your day. So the other implication is that kindness can be learned too, and we certainly learn it through knowing the Heavenly Father's heart, and there's many, many, many scriptures about the goodness and kindness of the Lord. So we're just going to touch on a few this morning, but kindness can be learned if we practice kindness. Now, what's interesting is society's change. Could you put up the picture of the nurse and the wounded soldier? This is a lead soldier picture from the 1930s and 40s. And in that society, in that time, it was interesting that they not only made warrior soldiers, you know, guns and, you know, tanks and all that, but there is a number of my lead soldiers in my collection that are doctors, nurses. This one with the nurse offering the cup to a wounded soldier, I thought it was interesting that in past generations we've created toys to teach children how to be kind and compassionate. Think about that. Not just superheroes, but to be kind, compassionate. So as a father, I felt it was very important to teach my children kindness. Okay? Could you put up the next one of Crystal's coupons? We used to have this thing with coupons because gifts don't have to cost money. You can teach your children how to give coupons. And so this was one of Crystal's coupons. It says to Daddy, this coupon is good for a 20-minute back rub. If you want a 30-minute back rub, pay 10 cents. I had that 10 cents ready right away. But I'm not even sure we made it through the 20 minutes, but it was good. It was, believe me, it was good. But I thought it was interesting, you know, even a child can think of what a father or somebody else might appreciate. And, you know, back rubs weren't common in our family, and she thought, well, here's a back rub for Dad. Matthew had a little bit more difficulty learning this technique. Show his coupon here. It says, this coupon is good for taking me to the movies anytime. Well, it was a start, you know. And we did bond a lot over, you know, movies, so he was in a way giving me his time. But I thought that was one of the interesting coupons we had on kindness. So teach your children kindness. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 10, which shows us that God was kind to us, forgiving us, and creating us for good works. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So God saved us in his kindness. For what? Good works. Every one of you has a unique gift of God within you. You will reach and touch people that the rest of us won't reach and touch because of your unique gift that God has placed within you. So the world wants us as damaged goods and wants to keep us dead in our trespasses and sins. But God saved us when we were damaged goods and extended his kindness to us. And why did he do this? Because he's a good God. He's a good father. And he wanted to create us to be better than what he found us in, to be created for good works. And so look around you and find someone that maybe is in your sphere of influence that has potential, but they're not there yet. Maybe they have a problem. I have a friend that's going through, has gone through a divorce and a lot of rejection and stuff, and we talk once or twice a week because he's not reached his potential yet. I see so much potential in this young man. And yet he says when he shares his problems with people, I'm one of the few people, not only everybody listens, but I'm one of the few people that actually pray with him when we're done listening. You know, and depending on your level of relationship, you might have to ask somebody, can I pray for you about this? You know, but we already have that relationship. So find somebody that hasn't reached their potential and pray for them. God has a plan for them just as he has a plan for you. The next scripture, Proverbs 19:22, was an interesting scripture I found when I was very young. But have you ever noticed how people are looking to be attractive? Okay, well, this is the key scripture to look at. It says, Proverbs 22, what is desired in a man is kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. So I want to break down the first part of this, because this is one of the key verses that tells us if you want to be attractive, here's what it takes. Now it says, what is desired in a man? That word man there is human being. So this applies to men and to women. It says, what is desired? Desired means desirable or loving or attractive. It means just what we think it would mean. And what is desired in a human being is kindness. And kindness is a person's, from the Hebrew, mercy, favor, good deeds, beauty, or an expression of their love. See, kindness is an activation of love. Kindness is an expression of God's love to others. And so, if we want to rewrite this verse in a little bit more amplified way, here's my rewriting of the verse. What is desirable, loving, or attractive in a man or woman is their kindness. Okay? So guys, if pump and iron isn't working for you anymore, or ladies, the looks, you know, or the walk, you know, isn't working for you, okay, put on kindness. It will be noticed. Kindness will be noticed by our society. I believe it will be one of the defining factors of the Christian church in the last days. And it was so interesting that I had prepared this sermon, submitted it, had this concept that kindness would be noticed, that when we were out with my mom a few weeks ago, just she's 90, she's in skilled nursing, stroke victim. And so to do something different, instead of on their floor, they have a little cafeteria. We got a wheelchair arranged. We took her down to the main restaurant of this care facility that does independent living, assisted living, and skilled nursing. So she could order off the menu and have a little different experience. Well, the Paikunkas always know how to have fun over a mealtime. I mean, it's not just eating. You know, it's about the fun and the relationship. And so Carol and I and Mom were all having fun, and I was sitting next to Mom taking care of Mom, and Carol was across, so I was taking care of her. And with a stroke victim, it took about four big cloth napkins to keep her, you know, clean and stuff. And this dinner went really well. We had a lot of fun with Mom. Mom laughed a lot. And so we get the wheelchair and we're getting ready to leave, and we're walking by this big table of eight people. And this 80-year-old woman silences not only her table but the whole restaurant and points at me and says, "I was watching you." And I got the finger of God pointing at me. It's like, okay, what did I do now? She said, I was watching how you took care of your mother, and you did a good job. Isn't that interesting that somebody was watching for kindness, and they saw it? And this woman was obviously probably independent living. She was very full of her capabilities, and she pointed across the table to a young man that was probably her son and said, he's like that too. Isn't that interesting? That kindness, people are watching. It's so different to the world that kindness will be noticed. So consider that, because what you do and how you act is part of your witnessing. Okay? So let's look at Colossians chapter 3, 12 to 15, which requires us to make a decision to put on kindness, to be clothed with kindness. So in verse 12 it says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bear with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against you, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. So again, we're commanded to put on kindness, but we must be committed to putting it on every day. Father, clothe me with your kindness today. Let it be noticed. Now here's the good news. If you're committed to putting on kindness and you do it, the good news is you'll probably be tested. Amen? Here's an interesting example. Now, I work in boiler rooms and power plants, and these are usually pretty rough men, strong-willed. And one of my large accounts, I took over about 15 years ago. It was very unpopular. The vendor had been in there 70 years. And it took me 22 years to sell this account. So it wasn't easy to break in. And because the relationship with the prior vendor was so strong, we would service weekly, and I would go in there and be in the lab. This is before I had James as my helper, so I was all alone by myself. And one of the operators comes in, stands this close to me, yelling and screaming and swearing at me. I know this guy's going to pick a fight with me. He's so close to me, I feel his spit as he's yelling at me for taking over the account. I put on kindness that morning. I didn't take it off. And I said to him, I said, you know, I'll make the same commitment to you that I made to your management, that I can already see ways to improve this power plant, save a lot of money, so you guys can get pay raises, they can improve the plant. But I said, I need eyes and ears here. And I can tell you're an honest person. And I would appreciate it if you would come in each week when I'm here and give me feedback so I can bounce some things off of you. He looked so confused. He just walked out. But he became one of my best friends. And he would start coming back each week, and we'd discuss what's going on in the plant, things and areas that could be improved. And about 2 years after that, I learned he shared with me how he was on a Black Ops team, dropped behind enemy lines in Bosnia and other bad places. And interesting military career. And he just shared with me about a month ago, he said, Jim, he said, my job was to be dropped behind enemy lines and take care of evil men and hunt them down. But he said, that also made me the hunted, to be hunted by men. He was not only a Black Ops team member, he was a Black Ops team leader. He said, I never lost a man. We always got in and got out. But kindness not only saved me that day, you know, from a very bad situation. But it gave me a friend. And we're still friends. In the last couple of years, we've bonded over trains, and he's got grandkids now, and we're going to remain friends. But think about that. You will be tested if you commit to putting on kindness. Don't take it off. Once you put it on, don't take it off. In 2 Peter 1:5 to 9, it says, if you add kindness to your faith, you'll be fruitful in knowing Christ. This is very important. It says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. So, I don't think any of us want to be barren or unfruitful. And if somebody tries to steal these things from you, you know who their father is. Okay? But our Father is a Father of goodness and kindness. And so we see that we can be successful or fruitful in knowing Christ by putting on brotherly kindness. That's very important. There's worldly success, which isn't going to last in eternity, but this is talking about eternal success. So kindness has been a family trait. My grandpa Gaudino came at age 14 to America. You can put his bike picture up there. There he is at 14 years old in America. He was raised in Italy, started his internship in tailoring at 5 or 6 years old, became a professional tailor, saved up money by age 14, and paid his way to America and came legally. And it was the Great Depression of Europe. And conditions were so bad in Europe that as he worked, he would send back money for the boat ride, which about that time was about $35. It was a lot of money to save up and give away. And he brought, we always wondered why at family reunions Grandpa was so popular, but until we learned that story, that he helped many of those families get out of Europe to come to America and prosper. And as a successful business owner, he was known for his kindness in the community as well, in serving others with kindness. Kindness will make you successful. Remember that. Kindness will make you successful and fruitful. My first sales manager taught me that selling, although salesmen can sometimes have a bad name, is really just about serving with kindness and serving better than the next person. Most of my customers are actually with me for the second time. I sold them. We had success. A purchasing manager said, we can get the same thing cheaper. They left me for a couple years. When the plant wasn't running real well, they called me back, and they've been faithful ever since. So your kindness will be noticed when you serve with excellence. One of my other sales managers says, if people like you, you got a 50-50 chance of doing business with them. If they don't like you, they'll find a reason not to do business with you. Your kindness is very important to both natural success and spiritual success. In Galatians 5:22-24, we see that kindness is one of the 9 fruits of the Spirit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. So my mom and dad were like Grandpa. They were always kind. They were business owners. And Dad was a volunteer fireman. Because he was in the war, they made him the fire police to keep all the idiots from rushing to the fire. And people would show up with fake badges and, you know, My dad was not the person to confront. He threw a lot of people out from trying to chase fires. But anyways, he would offer the person that had the fire, because we had a dry cleaning laundry business, give me all your clothes that are smoke damaged. And he stayed up all night cleaning their clothes. He said, tell me what time you want me back here in the morning so that you got clean clothes to go to work and go to school. Want me here at 5 o'clock? What time you want me here? And we would clean all the clothes in their house. And a lot of times Dad would do that on his own, but when we could, we would stay up with him and work all night cleaning clothes so that people wouldn't be embarrassed about going to work in smoky clothes or kids going to school in smoky clothes. And Dad would hire these schoolboys as helpers, and he had an agreement with the principal. He could recommend good students, but if he had some guys that were just kind of on the edge, you know, with attitudes, Dad was real good with those guys. And he trained a lot of them, and a lot of them became businessmen because they wanted to be like my dad. They didn't want to work for anybody else. They wanted to create their own business. And so Dad, with one of these boys, who was 13 at the time, you could start work actually earlier back then, He was abandoned by his parents. Came home one day to the trailer, and note said, you're on your own. Goodbye. And when he didn't show up for work, Dad went to the trailer, found him crying in the trailer. And we didn't learn this till 2 years before Dad died, but he hid Brian in an upstairs apartment that we had over the business, and he fed him, clothed him, got him through high school, and got him on his way into life. We always wondered why Brian would send Christmas cards. Would you put up the picture of Brian? That's one of the Christmas cards. Brian became a very successful businessman in pest management, and still is, but he wanted to be greater than my dad, who had 6 kids, so he decided they had 11 children. He wanted to be greater than my dad. Isn't that interesting? You never know what effect you will have on other people when you extend kindness to them. Someone is watching for you to be kind. Someone is watching you. Genesis 24, 10 to 14. Let's look at how we can pray for God's kindness to give us success in everything. Do you want success?
Yes.
You can pray for it. Okay, let's look at the scripture. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hands. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. This is a story of Abraham's servant going to look for a wife for Isaac. And he made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. Then he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink, and she says, drink, and I will also give your camels drink. Let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. See, this servant of Abraham knew that God loved to extend kindness to those that believed in him. God hasn't changed. God wants to extend his kindness to you. But he was also smart enough to know that he could pray and ask God for that success. It was interesting, his challenge was, let me find the woman that's going to extend kindness to me and do more than I asked her to. That was going to be his sign. Isn't that interesting? But you can pray for success. So what areas do you need success in? What areas are still maybe a little unfruitful or maybe a lot unfruitful? You know, sometimes it's finances, sometimes it's health. It can be a lot of different things for a lot of different people. But maybe you need help in an area That is something that you can take to God, and God will extend his kindness to you. God is a loving God that wants to extend his kindness to you. One of the principles as a father that I would teach my children, and for the young fathers in the house, think about this. My verbal commitment to them was, daddies are helpers. How can I help you? I would always be asking them that question. Well, then when they were little, it was, well, daddy, could you do this for me? Or could you do that or this or that? It was things, you know, to help them move along the way. Well, now that they're grown adults, I still ask them that question. Daddies are helpers. How can I help you? Well, Dad, you can pray for me. Yeah. I'm struggling with this at work or this or that, but will you pray for me? Don't be afraid to tell your kids that you are their helper, just like God is our helper, because I did that when the kids were very little, and then as they got old enough to understand that I was mortal and not immortal, I said, when I am gone, who's going to be your helper? God will be my helper. That's very important to plant into your children that daddies are helper, moms are helpers, and that someday when we're gone, God's going to be here to be your helper. That's a very important concept. Let's look at Joel 2, chapter 2, where we see that God is a God of great kindness, but he asks us to repent. It says, now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. And he relents from doing harm. See, God wants to show us mercy. And therefore, we should be showing the world mercy. The world is looking for a good God. There's enough fear and bad stuff going on in the world that they could be bound by, but somebody needs to show them the goodness and mercy of God and tell them God does not want to harm you for your sins. He wants to forgive you, love you, bring you into the family, and give you an inheritance. Titus 3, verses 4 to 7, we see the kindness of Jesus Christ. It says, but when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs, according to the hope of eternal life. So you have already inherited what I believe is the majority of your inheritance. Yes, there's an inheritance waiting for us in heaven, right? But God has given us an inheritance right now of his heart to extend love and kindness and mercy to others. And God has an abundance of that to pour into us for us to overflow and pour out to the world. So share your inheritance with others. And we see, especially in our society, those that are dedicated to service, our military, our police, doctors, nurses, fire, first responders. I mean, there are people with a heart to serve. But above all, the church needs to be the first responder to the world for their eternity. So ask God how you can extend kindness every day. Put on kindness. Practice kindness. In John 1:23, we see John. John says, John replied with the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of one calling in the desert, make straight the way to the Lord. I believe that evangelism is an act of kindness calling others to God. John understood this. That was his gift. That was his mission, to call others to God. And that'll be your greatest joy. All of you can be spiritual fathers and mothers to others that you call into the kingdom. And it's been my joy to call many into the kingdom in power plants, which is kind of a difficult area, but those are men that need God. And I've had a number of wonderful experiences. There was one plant where there were four Christians, and they knew I was a Christian, so we were praying for Bob in the boiler room, and he was like this wild, hairy guy. He was like John the Baptist, you know, like hair sticking out all over, and he had family issues, and they were witnessing to him and sharing the gospel, and I would come in once a month, and he'd say, "These crazy Christians are telling me this and that and this." And, "Well, Bob, they're not so crazy." "Let me tell you why." And so between me and the others, you know, I was the consultant. I was his helper. I was making him good at the boiler room so that he could get promoted. And so he respected me. And these four guys eventually led him to the Lord. And one day I come in, and Bob's saved. He's a new man. And he and his wife eventually went on to become youth workers in their church and have done that for decades. Isn't that nice? And I was able to disciple them for several more years before the plant closed down. But put on kindness. I had another friend up to middle school. Joe was raised in a nice Christian family. Got real angry about middle school. Decided we couldn't be friends anymore. And he got into drugs and stuff, wound up in prison. Fortunately, wasn't caught with many drugs. He said it could have been a lot worse. But this lifer, who was in prison for life, reached out to him, got him recommitted to God, because his mother had raised him in church. And I'm on the streets of Sotus shortly after college, and I hear, "Jim!" And I look across the street, and Joe's running at me in a suit, you know, which Joe never wore a suit. And he comes over, gives me a big hug. "Hey, I got saved, but in prison, could have been a lot worse. And now I'm an assistant pastor at the Baptist church that I was raised in." One other young gentleman I reached out to 35 years ago in La Porte, witnessed to him on the roof of the house doing roofing. Three stories up in the air. We're both straddling the peak, right? And so we got to the point of decision, but I was smart enough to say, "Let's go down into the house first before we talk anymore." I didn't know, you know, what God was going to do. I didn't want him rolling off the roof. So we go down, and I lead him to the Lord. And he has led men's studies down in Texas for his pastor for decades. You never know who you're going to save. You might be saving the next pastor of a church, the next worship leader. You don't know who you're going to be saving. But God wants you to reach out in love to others. I want to close with this final verse in John, because kindness is laying down your life for others. It says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you," excuse me, "that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another." In God's kindness, as a father, he sent his son to die an awful death on the cross. As a father of a son, I can't imagine that kind of love. But Heavenly Father did that for us, and in the kindness of Jesus Christ, he laid down his life. He said, "No man takes it from me. I lay it down for you. And in the kindness of the Holy Spirit leads us, guides us, promises to be our counselor, our teacher. So in your kindness, what will you do? What will I do? You were created for good works, greater works. So in your kindness, how will you serve and save others from destruction? I'm going to close in prayer and ask the worship team to come for their closing song. But Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you're a loving and kind and merciful God. You saved us while we were in our trespasses and sins. You called to us before we called to you. And so, Father, out of your great love and mercy, pour into us that kind of kindness and compassion to reach to others, just like someone reached to us to bring us into the kingdom. Help us to reach out to others to save them from destruction, to release their gift and inheritance in the world, and to release their gifts to the church, Father, to serve you here in the earth. We thank you, Father, that you love us, that you never leave us nor forsake us, and that you're going to help us do this. We just know that kindness is going to be that witness in the end times. So teach us every day how to put on kindness and practice kindness. In Jesus' name, amen.